Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on this special edition of Gold Radio Cafe. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and today joining us all the way from Singapore, we have author of the new book, Street Smarts, Adventures on the Road and in the Markets, Mr. Jim Rogers. Welcome to the program.
I'm delighted to be here, Bob. Good morning. Good morning here, anyway.
Yes, so it's Wednesday over there where you are. It's still Tuesday here in Windsor. Jim, I was wondering if we could give us a sneak preview about what your new book. I guess it's coming out in a couple of weeks. It's available for pre-order now on Amazon, I guess. But what is the book going to be talking about?
Yes, it is officially coming out in a couple of weeks. Some people are already getting it, apparently. It's the story of my life. I've had various and sundry adventures in lots of places, and it's a memoir, I guess, as much as anything else. But a lot of the lessons I have learned, and the problems I've had, and the failures I've had, and some of the successes. So I hope it's something that people will learn from.
Well, I know I enjoyed some of your other books, especially Hot Commodities. I found it very eye-opening, and it came out the same year that I became a commodities broker. And one of the things, from your other books was, and this one, Street Smarts, is your experiences traveling around the world. How would you compare that to, I guess, educational experiences when it comes to investing? What would you think is more important?
Oh, I guess the main thing, if you're going to be an investor, is to be skeptical and curious, inquisitive, because most of the things that we hear or read in the press or see on TV are not really what's going on. So we have to be skeptical. If you do what everybody else is doing in the investment world, you're probably not going to make money, unless you're a very good short-term quick trader. So I guess the main thing is be curious and do your own homework if you're going to be successful. And for goodness sakes, don't get swept away with what everybody else is doing or what everybody else is saying.
Jim, it seems that in most of the what people are investing in their retirement accounts anyway, a lot of these financial planners and so on are following the efficient market theory. Are you a believer in this theory, or do you have something different that you focus on as far as designing a portfolio?
Well, I certainly don't subscribe to the efficient market theory. It's been proven wrong so many times. No, there are plenty of successful, well, not plenty, but there are successful people who can make money in the investment world. They usually do so by not subscribing to what's going on in the market, but finding out where the inefficiency lies. It's not the efficient market, it's the inefficient market that gives people opportunities. When there's something changing and you find something cheap, you can make a lot of money. But the efficient market theory would say that's all, everybody already knows that. It's already priced in. Well, it's been my experience and the experience of other investors that it's not priced in. That's how you make money.
Okay, very good. Jim, mostly what we talk about on this show is gold. And one of the most interesting topics right now, apparently it just came out in the news today, is that Germany's Bundesbank is looking to repatriate their gold. A lot of people are comparing this to what happened in the late 60s when France was looking to call in their gold from the... How do you think this is going to affect the gold market?
Well, if people are making that comparison, that's totally incorrect, because in France, what they did in the late 60s was they were taking their U.S. dollars and exchanging them for gold, because in those days, the Treasury would sell gold to foreign banks at $35 an ounce. And so the French said, we'd rather have gold than these paper dollars. And so they, and it turns out wisely, started buying gold or redeeming their dollars for gold from the Treasury. And that's when lots of things. Oh, that's when gold started going up a lot. What's happening now is the Germans already own this gold. They hope, they think. They're just saying, send us our gold. They're not converting dollars for gold or are buying it. They're just saying, okay, we've got this gold stored in New York. We've had it there for several decades. And wisely, I mean, if I were Germany or anybody else, I would say, wait a minute, why is my gold in New York? I want my gold here at home where I can see it, where I can touch it. And there's certainly, we do know that nobody has audited the gold in the U.S. Federal Reserve System or even in Fort Knox. Nobody has ever audited this stuff at all. So if I were a foreign, not just a foreign, if I were anybody, I would say, wait a minute, all right, send me my gold. Then there's no question that it's there at the moment. You know, I know it's pretty inconceivable, but there's never been a real audit of our gold in Fort Knox. So we don't even know if America owns the gold and says it does.
Right. So basically, they just, you know, make sense for any investor to have the gold in their own backyard, I guess.
Absolutely. I hope you have your gold. If you have any gold, I hope you have your gold in your own backyard or somebody's backyard that you know and trust.
I do. One of the things years ago when all these bailouts started to emerge, many of your interviews, you were discussing that you were criticizing the U.S. government as becoming the landlord when they're printing out all this money to bail out the banks and the mortgage companies. Apparently, Ben Bernanke is continuing to expand the money supply, and they're bailing out the mortgage industry on a monthly basis. Where is this leading the U.S. dollar?
Well, throughout history, when people have debased the currency, whenever they've printed a lot of money, didn't matter what country, it always led to a decline in value of the currency, and eventually it's led to turmoil in interest markets and currency markets and everything else. No, this is not a good sign. All you have to do is read history. Dr. Bernanke doesn't know much about economics or currencies or economics or finance even, so he doesn't really care. All he knows about is printing money. His whole intellectual career has been devoted to the study of printing money. So he thinks the solution to everything is printing money. Unfortunately, you and I and everybody listening to this program are going to pay the consequence someday.
Okay, Jim. So how do people... okay, we know that gold protecting themselves, but let's say generally, if you were to create a legacy portfolio for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and you had to choose between paper currency, gold bullion, or a stock index, how would you set up that portfolio?
Well, if you're talking about grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the only thing that has survived value for several generations is precious metals and real assets. That's a pretty simple answer to that question. You would have to own gold and silver and put it somewhere so that in a few generations they could access it. That's another problem, you know. The grandchild's got several decades ahead of it, and there'll be wars and economic hardship and upheaval and everything else in that period of time. So you need to make sure the child has some precious metals and that they're put in a place where the child can access them without some government taking them away from them or anybody else taking them away. The options you gave, it's pretty simple.
Okay.
There won't be times when gold and silver will go down. In fact, I'm a little worried about gold and silver right now. I own gold and silver, and I'm not selling it. But there will be periods in the next few decades when everything will have ups and downs.
Okay, Jim, I know you're really busy right now. Last question. You traveled around the world a couple of times. In your last trip around the world, you saw countries that you didn't want to invest in, countries that were terrible places to put money, and countries that were good places. Since your last trip around the world, which countries do you think made the most improvements and that you would be considering investing in right now?
Well, Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, is certainly a place with dramatic and exciting changes. You know, China opened up 30, 35 years ago, and it's been a great success story, as you know. Well, Myanmar is the same place that China was then. Now, it's difficult to invest in Myanmar right now. I guess another place, to my surprise, I'm trying to invest in is is Russia. I've been skeptical about Russia for 47 years since I first went there, 46 years since I first went there. I'm now looking for investments in Russia. Putin seems to have changed his attitude towards capitalism and in the investment world. Those are a couple where I, and again, with Russia, I'm astonished to hear myself say these words, but I am looking for investments in Russia now.
Okay. Nothing in the Balkan region. The Balkans seem to be in a terrible condition. Are there any changes going on over there?
Well, I do see some places that seem to be working towards changing. I'm thinking about investing in Bulgaria. In fact, I've opened an account there. I hope the account's open. I keep my eye on those areas to see what may happen, but at the moment, other than Bulgaria, I'm not really doing anything down there. I wouldn't mind investing in Turkey. It's not specifically or technically the Balkans. I am looking down there.
It's just one of the pointers I got from one of your books. I think you mentioned it's good to invest when there's blood on the streets. When things are terrible, that's when you find good buying opportunities.
Well, that's been demonstrated many, many times in history. I'm certainly not the first to notice that.
Right.
But you do have to be careful. There could be blood in the streets. That doesn't mean things can't go down another 50 or 60% as things get bloodier. But it's certainly the time and place to look when you see blood in the streets. What I have found a little better, in fact, is if you see a country where war is ending or a civil war is ending, that's usually the best time, a great time to invest in a country where there's a big change. The real, obviously, best time is right before the war ends, because that's when things are at their most depressed. But throughout history, if you invest in a country when a war ends, you usually find things are very cheap and dramatic changes will be taking place over the next few decades. But be sure to get your timing right, because, as I say, if you get the timing wrong, things could collapse even more.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Author of Street Smarts, Adventures on the Road and in the Markets, Mr. Jim Rogers. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day.
Oh, it's my delight. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.